Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boko Rabaka, Ririoko, Shebaka, Neke, Orabaka. Oh, we honor the King of Kings today. He is the Lord. He is the great and mighty I Am. We come to honor him like never before. We come to call upon the name of our great God, our Lord, our King, our Shepherd. He is our Father. He is the one true and living God. He is our King. Even as we dwell in the secret place, we could call on his name. He is always available. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He is the one true and living Father. We can call him Abba Father and expect an answer. I thank you, Father God, that you hear and you answer our prayers. Your word says, whatever we ask in your name, believing, you will grant it. So we thank you, Father God, that we could call on your name. Oh, the great and mighty King, the great and mighty I Am, and you hear and you answer our prayers, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you said the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So, Father God, today we come to pray effectual, fervent prayers unto you, our King. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. We thank you that you are Jehovah Nisi, a banner over us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are Jehovah Shalom, a peacemaker in the midst of every storm, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you are our divine helper, our divine protector in Jesus' name. We cover ourselves, our families, our possessions with the blood of Jesus. Let your fire surround us, O God, and protect our lives from all destruction. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the angel of the Lord encamp around us and protect us, O God. Let your glory be our covering to protect our backs. In the name of Jesus, hold us up and we will be safe, O God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. We can run into it and be safe. Lord, you make us to dwell in safety. In the name of Jesus, set us in safety from them that puffeth us, O God. Let us dwell in safety in this land, in America, O God. In the name of Jesus, in our homes. When we leave our homes, when we go out in the highways and byways, when we go into the marketplace, keep us safe, O God. Lead us safely, and we will not fear. Let the sea overwhelm our enemies, O God. Let us not die, and let us lie down and rest in safety, O God. In the name of Jesus, we will dwell in safety. Nothing shall make us afraid. Keep us as the apple of your eye and hide us under the shadow of your wings. We will trust in the covert of your wings. In the shadow of your wings will we trust. Be our covert from the storm and the rain. Be our covert from the wind and the tempest. Cover our heads in the day of battle. Cover us with the shadow of your hand. Cover us with your feathers. Be our defense and our refuge, O God. Defend us and deliver us. Let your glory be our defense. Defend us, O God, from those who rise up against us. Lord, you are our shield and our hiding place. Lord, surround us with your shield of protection. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. Let your truth be our shield. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, you are our sun. You are our shield. Lord, you are our shield and exceeding great reward. We will not be afraid of 10,000 that have set themselves against us because you are our shield, O God. You are a strong tower from the enemy, and we run into your holy presence, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that in your presence is fullness of joy. And we are dependent fully upon you in this hour, O God. As terror rises in our nation, O God, bombings, O God, all kinds of violent acts and crimes against people, O God, in the name of Jesus for no apparent reason, oh God. So, Father God, we thank you for covering us with your blood, even as we go out, as we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your shield, your hedge around us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, forgive us for sins, transgressions, errors, trespasses, in the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive us, oh God, when we sin against you, our great God, our Lord, our Father. Forgive us, oh God, for little foxes that spoil our vines. Oh, Father God, create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us daily, oh God. Move mightily by your spirit, oh God. Cover us with your feathers, oh God. Hide us under the shadow of your protection, oh almighty God. And we will give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, all the honor belong to you, our King. Come, let us sing joyfully to you, O Lord. Let us shout happily to the rock of our salvation. We come into your presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let's shout to him with psalms. The Lord is great, is a great God. God is great. He's a king above all the gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea are his, and he made it. And in his hands he formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel in front of our Lord, our Maker, because he is our God, and we are his people in his care and the flock that he leads. If only you would listen to him today. Do not be stubborn like my people were in Meribah, like the time at Massa in the desert. Your ancestors challenged me and tested me there, although they hadn't seen what I had done. For 40 years, I was disgusted with those people. So I said, they are a people whose hearts continue to stray. They have not learned my ways. That's why I angrily took this solemn oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Yokona mane ke she koraba kade ke she konama kade. Father God, today I thank you that we can dwell in your secret place, O God. We can say of you, Lord, you are our refuge, you are our fortress. My God, we're continually trusting in you. We're continually seeking your face. Oh, Father God, we will say of you, Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, and we trust in you, O God. Oh, Father God, we thank you today that you, Omoko Rabaka Nene Keshe, will rescue us from the hunter's trap and from deadly plagues. We thank you, Lord God, that you will cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we will find refuge. We thank you that your truth is our shield and armor. We do not fear, O God, the terror of the night, arrows that fly during the day, plagues that roam in the dark, epidemics that strike at noon. They will not come near you, near us, even though 1,000 may fall beside us and 10,000 at our right side. We only have to look with our eyes to see the punishment of wicked people. You, O Lord, are our refuge. You have made the Most High. We have made the Most High our home. No harm will come to us. No sickness will come near our house. You will put angels in charge of us, O God, to protect us in all your ways. The angels will carry us in their hands so that we will never hit our foot against the rock. We will step on lions and cobras. We will trample on young lions and snakes. Because we love you, you will rescue us. You will protect us because we have known your name. When we call on you, Father God, you will answer. You will be with us when we are in trouble. You will save us and honor us. You will satisfy us, O God, with long life. You will show us your salvation in the name of Jesus. So, Father, today we thank you that you are the great King, the great and mighty I Am. Well, welcome to Bible, to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. We're glad you joined us today. The title of our message today is Inspiration, Exhilaration, and Exaltation. What is inspiration? Have you ever inspired anyone, or has anyone inspired you? A divine influence. Inspiration is a divine influence. A person or an action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive communication, sacred revelation. Exhilaration, a state of being stimulated, refreshed, or elated, to excite, elate, thrill, enliven, invigorate, to lift up. What is exaltation? Feeling of extreme happiness, a feeling of intense or excessive happiness, exhilaration, rising up, the act of rising up or holding something up, adoration, praise, applause. So today our title is Inspiration, Exhilaration, and Exaltation. Have you ever been to a regular meeting on your job, and when you went there thinking it was the same old boring agenda? After the beginning business, a guest speaker was introduced. The speaker seemed ordinary, but it was something in their presentation that moved you to another level. You began to listen attentively and with great anticipation as to what they would say next. The more they talked, you went from slumped over to sitting to attention on the very edge of your seat. You even made a few notes as to how you could excel on your job. When the speaker continued to talk, you became even more excited, more motivated about what you could accomplish. You began to flow with the speaker. Things begin to flow to you that you never considered for a few projects you've been working on. By the time the speaker finished, you had gained a new attitude, a new perspective on life, and you found yourself standing with the rest of your fellow associates and giving a standing ovation to the speaker. When Jesus sat and talked to crowds of people, many of them had traveled for miles to hear him speak. Their feet probably were tired and hurting. They may have been hungry, and many had come because they heard he healed the sick, and possibly many of them had diseases in their bodies that doctors told them were incurable, like leprosy or other diseases. Some people may have come to see Jesus because they had no job or no place to live, or maybe life had not been good to them. Maybe they lost their spouse, their child, their parents. They were alone. Maybe they were old or felt deserted. But as they sat and heard Jesus speak to the multitudes, they may have felt they were the only person there because Jesus' message met their physical, emotional, and psychological needs. Jesus appeared to be an ordinary man, but he had extraordinary powers. He was supernatural. Wherever he went, transformation took place. Even on the boat with the disciples, when the storm came, the disciples became afraid that the boat might sink and they would drown. Jesus was sleeping, no doubt tired. The disciples saw and heard the torrential rain. They said, "Lord, save us. We perish." It was not an ordinary rain. They were fishermen, so they fished in the rainstorm before, but it was a turbulent storm. The boat was rocking. The rain, the thunder was clapping. It looked as if the boat was going to be filled with water. Fish were coming in the boat. look like all kinds of sea creatures coming around them. The sea waves were high. But when Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," then Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Mark 4:39, Mark's account of the ship experience. The disciples said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Have you ever been fearful after a doctor's report that horrified you, or after you got a pink slip on your job? Maybe you were at your wit's end. What am I going to do? You were not even in your right mind. You came home. You got on your knees. You cried. You cried. You cried. You cried. You said, "Lord, hear my cries." You cried so much, the tears seemed like a bucket full, that you just ran over with tears, more tears. Maybe, you know, you had just returned from a funeral of someone who was murdered, maybe a young person, you know, in a short casket, and you left. You had no hope of what would happen. You felt down in a pit, and there was no escape. Your tears seemed endless. No words seemed to comfort you. The phone rang. The doctor's office called the second test. They revealed, the second test that you took revealed a clean bill of health. Could Jesus have stepped in and say, "Peace, be still"? Could he have erased what they saw from your body? What was in your body could he have erased it and said to your situation, "Peace, be still"? Could he have comforted your heart during the lonely times when you know, you lost your spouse and you felt the other side of the bed and they weren't there no more? Or you went in your child's room and the child, you know, maybe was gone. They would never be there anymore. Or maybe, you know, on your job, you got a pink slip and you said, "Lord, I got a wife, I got children, I got grandchildren. Lord, I got a house note, I got a car note." And you cried and you cried. And you know, sometimes they say men not supposed to cry, but you know, even Jesus wept. Remember Jesus and the multitude. And you know, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years she suffered. She had been to doctor after doctor. She had spent every penny she had, every dollar she had, every dime, every nickel, every penny. She was broke. She couldn't even go to the doctor. During that time, they didn't have, you know, insurance. So she had nothing left. So, you know, she had to figure out something. She said, "You know, I heard about a great man, and I heard that this man was doing wonderful things. I got to go find that man. No matter where he is, I got to go find him. I know he's always with multitudes of people, always crowds around him. But I'm weak, but I got to press my way. I got to find the strength, because in him, I believe, is how I'm going to be healed. In him, I believe there's healing virtue that I need for my body. I've heard that he's healed many sick people. I heard that he healed leprosy. I heard that he healed many, many sick people throughout the land. I heard all about this great man called Jesus. He looked like an ordinary man, but when he walked through crowds of people were healed of emotional wounds, of physical wounds, of spiritual wounds. I got it. Just get close to this man, Jesus. So when the woman got in the crowd, and when Jesus passed, she didn't have much strength because she'd been bleeding for 12 years. But she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, his clothes he got on. I believe that he's saturated with healing, even in his clothes. So, you know, she reached out and she touched him because of the great faith she had. He noticed. He said, wait a minute. Virtue left my body. And the disciples couldn't understand. And, you know, he said, somebody in this crowd touched me. And they said, Jesus, anybody could have touched you in all of these crowds, thousands of people. Who in the world will we know? How will we know who it was? And he turned around and he saw her. And he said, woman, by faith have healed you. So, you know, we got to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. How are we going to do that? How can we touch the hem of his garment today? By reading and studying his word. There's healing in his word. There's restoration in his word. There's peace in his word. You know, he is Jehovah Shalom. When you're so troubled, when you're so vexed, when you turn the TV on and you say, my God, what next? When you see all these people in Boston, the explosions, and when you see the children, you know, when you looked at the TV and you saw the children up in Connecticut and the violent things that are happening to people, you know, we gotta reach out and touch the hem of his garment. We gotta dwell in the secret place. We don't have no protection except the protection in the secret place under the shadow of his almighty wings. The woman thought to herself, you know, if I could just touch the hem of his clothes, I believe I'll be healed. Now, you know, sometimes we got to be desperate. We got to be desperate to get a hold of Jesus. You know, she was desperate. Sometimes you go through a little something and you say, oh, it's going to pass. But this didn't pass from her. 12 years she had this condition, and she got tired of it. She said, you know, I ain't got no money. I can't go to Dr. X. I can't go to Dr. Z no more. They won't see me because my bill is so high. My bill is over thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I can't even go back there no more. I'm ashamed. I owe so much money. I can't go. So she was desperate. When you get desperate, you even go through crowds to get to Jesus. Crowds of people. Have you ever been to, you know, a big conference, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and they were offering healing up front, but yet it seemed like, you know, how am I going to get there? How am I going to get up there? Are you desperate enough to get what you need from Jesus? You got to be desperate sometimes. You know, maybe your children, you know, are going through all kinds of stresses and strains in life, and you don't know. Maybe they in prison, and you say, Lord, I believe my child's innocent, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to get the record straight for my child. Lord, I don't have no money to get him out, oh God. But, Lord, you own the cattle on 10,000 hills. You know, we serve a great God. He's not going to ignore you. I don't care how small the matter is. When you call Abba, Father, you got his attention. So tell him what you want. You know, there's a song that said, call him up and tell him what you want. You know, he's there for you. You may say, well, you know, they need him more than I do. No, we all need him. We all need Jesus in this hour. And, you know, the lady didn't have to wait 3 days. She got an immediate healing. You know, Jesus said, who touched me? That virtue went out his body. That's how he know. Sure, people were bumping up against him in the crowd, and he touched them as they passed by, you know, bodies moving against one another in the crowd. But she had such great faith that when she touched him, it was something about that touch, that desperate touch, that desperate plea, that inner cry that she had, that she so desperately needed Jesus. And she reached out when she touched him. He said, "Who touched me?" He recognized. And you know, when you stay in the secret place and you cry out and you say, "Lord, my situation, Lord, help me, Jesus." When you can't say nothing else but, "Lord," you can cry out to him. There's healing virtue. You can say, "Lord," and don't you know, he hear you. He is not deaf. He said, "I made the ears, I hear. I made your eyes, I see. I made your mind, I'm able to think. I know your very thoughts. I know the intent of your heart. I am the God that you could call on. I'm the God of a second chance. I'm the God of a third chance. Don't you know I gave Israel, my people, I gave them chance after chance after chance to get it right. So I am in love with you." He said, "I'm in love with you. I call you my people. I said to you, I'm your God. So call on me when you need me. I'm available. I don't slumber. I don't sleep. I know even before you call me, I've already heard. I've already answered." Don't you know Jesus knew the woman would be passing by to touch the hem of his garment? Yeah, he was a supernatural God. It was not secret from him. Don't you know he went particular ways for particular reasons? He could have gone a whole new way, and the woman could not have been able to find him. But he knew who was going to be in the crowd that day. He is not ignorant. He is not a man. He's a God, the King of Kings. He knows everything. Nothing is secret from God, even your very, very secrets that you keep hidden and think nobody knows. God knew them before you had them. He knows the end of our lives from the beginning. He's an amazing God. Don't you know many times he left the crowd? He didn't just leave the crowd. He went to spend time with the Father. He stayed connected with his Heavenly Father. Many days he went away. Don't you know he had to be resupplied, filled up again, because people were touching him in the crowd and people were pulling from him. And he had to go in the secret place with the Father and spend time and be refreshed and be renewed and be filled up again. And then he'd come back and he'd go with the disciples and he'd go into the multitudes again. And you know, God restored him and he refilled him every time, even when he went to the mountain, you know, and he spent 40 days in the wilderness. Don't you know he didn't eat no food, but God gave him spiritual food. So when you're crying and you don't feel hungry for physical food, when you're at your wit's end, you don't know which way to turn, you can be filled with spiritual food, that everlasting food. Call on the name of Jesus. You know, even, you know, through Jesus' journey on the earth, he did so many great miracles, wonders, and signs. But guess what? He said, "My people are going to do greater than what I've done when I was here on the earth." So you know what? Watch around you now. God always raise up when there's so much chaos in the land, when there's so much evil, when there's so much wicked in the land. God raise up people like Moses to come forth. He called Moses when he was a child. When he placed him in his mother's belly, he had that call on his life. Moses even went to God with excuses. He said, Jesus said, "That's all right. I'm going to send another one with you who's going to speak too, and I'll also speak through you." So he said, "What you got in your hand, Moses?" he said, lay it down. He laid it down, Moses, jump back. He said, it was a snake then. He said, pick it up by the tail. Moses hesitated. He picked it up. Hurrah. He said, okay, Moses, now you're scared to go? He said, but I'm going to show you three wonders. He said, okay, now stick your hand down in your bosom. He stuck his hand down there, and it was turned up. It was white with leprosy. Moses said, whoa! He said, stick it back in there again. Stuck it out, put it back in there, and it came up. It was no disease, nowhere to be found. He said, now, Moses, go. I'm going to show you. Take this water, pour it in here, pour it in the river, and it's going to turn into blood. And now I want you to go back to see Pharaoh, to Israel, and I want you to tell him that I am sent you. And you know that same great God that was with Moses, he's still with you today. He's the great God who cares about you. He's the great God who loves you. He will send a Moses today. The bombings, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the things that are going on, God will take care of all of those things. Don't you worry. He'll take care of them. He is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the light. So, you know, he's an amazing God, and he don't miss nothing. He doesn't miss a thing. So, you know, Jesus said in his word, he wants us to be of good cheer. Let me go read it for you. It's in Matthew 9:2. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. We get downcast. We go like, Lord, where we going to go? What we going to do? Don't you worry. God put us here. Don't you know he's going to take care of us? Now, in Matthew chapter 9, we're almost there, verse 2. You know what he said in his word? He said, now, let me see. 9:2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on his bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins be forgiven. Don't you know Jesus has a plan for all of us? He has a great plan for all of us. He keeps us in his holy thoughts. It's nothing, nothing. He said, no good thing will I withhold from you who walk upright. Now, you know you got to walk upright. You can't be living in sin and say, oh, Lord, I could do this, I could do that, and I know God going to forgive me. Come on now. Don't fool yourself. God is a God of grace and mercy, but he's also a God of understanding. And he wants you to understand that it's necessary in this day and time for you to live a holy, righteous life. He said, you know, you don't know when he's coming back. He ain't told you when he's coming. He isn't told anybody when he's coming back. Some going to be caught downtown. They're going to leave here and go on to glory. Some got in the bomb. They didn't know they was going. They left home thinking, okay, I'm going to run this marathon. And I'll be going back home with a trophy. They didn't make it. Nobody knows the time, the day, nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming back. So we got to get right. What they say, get right, church, and let's go home. We got to get it right with God. Now, in 2 Timothy 4:1-5, Paul write a letter to Timothy. And he said, you know, I solemnly call on you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge those who are living and those who are dead. I do this because Christ Jesus will come to rule the world. Be ready to spread the word whether or not the time is right. Point out errors, warn people, and encourage them. Be very patient. When you teach, a time will come when people will not listen to accurate teaching. Instead, They will follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. People will refuse to listen to the truth and turn to myths. But you must keep a clear head in everything. Endure suffering. Do the work of a missionary. Devote yourself completely to your work. So that's what he's telling Timothy. And he's telling us the same thing. I thank God that I was born in an era where God birthed great leaders in this world to inspire, to exhilarate, and exhort us. I can remember as a child our great president, President Kennedy. I was in high school when he became the president. And President Kennedy inspired people. And you know, one of his famous quote was when he said, "Do not ask what you can do for your country, but instead, do not ask what your country can do for you, but instead ask what you can do for your country." And I will never forget, you know, he was young, but he was a great man who God placed as a leader over this nation. Now, also when I grew up, I'll never forget, and I got to meet him but I got to go to his memorial service when he died, and that was Martin Luther King. I was at a conference in Florida. I was living in Ohio, and our church was having a conference. So several of us came down south in Florida. We went to this conference, and while we were there, we were getting ready to leave that day or the next day, and we heard that Martin Luther King had gotten killed. But, you know, he was a great man. God had him in this country, and he inspired people to do great things. Like I said, God raised up leaders like Moses and Jeremiah and the Josephs of this world and the Daniels of this world. He raised up great leaders to inspire, to exhort, to exhilarate people, to move them to a next level, to give them faith, to keep moving on. So Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream that one day our children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character." And, you know, I often think about another great leader. This one is still alive today. And I saw his son on TV not too long ago. He said, my dad said he's going to be speaking on his 98th birthday or 96th birthday. I can't remember. But Billy Graham. And, you know, one of his famous quotes was, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spine of others are often stiffened." So, you know, there are great, great people in this world that God raised up. Don't you think that they started raising themselves up? No. Now, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a great pastor, and her name is Apostle Kimberly Daniels. And her famous quote from one of her, she also has it in her book, but we say it every Sunday morning, and I'm just going to quote the very beginning of it. It says, "I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me." And, you know, it's longer than that. But that's one of her famous quotes. You know, people are known sometimes by the quotations that they make. And Jesus made so many. You know, Jesus had so many quotes. Read throughout the Word, and you'll see many of the things that Jesus said, how he inspired, how he brought people to another level. When he talked, he moved mountains out of people's lives. So let's study to show ourselves approved workmen in God's kingdom to please God. You know, what are we living for on earth? One day we're going to have to leave this earth, and we need guidance. We need God's guidance. You know, he is our guide even unto death. God's word will transform us when we read it. There is power in the word of God. Have you told anybody lately about the great God, about the God who answers prayers? You know, have you given a testimony to anybody lately about how God has, you know, transformed your life, how he brought you from the pit to the palace, how he brought you from a mess to a miracle, how he saved your life, you know, from accidents or incidents or all kinds of catastrophes? You know, I will never, probably ever forget Katrina, how God saved me, how he had a hiding place for me during Katrina. He already had it prepared for me. I just didn't know it. Didn't even know Katrina was coming. But God, in his infinite wisdom, had already prepared a place for me. I'm talking about me in particular now. Yeah, he had a place for many, many people. But I thank God that he definitely had a place for me. Have you told anybody lately about the God who saved you? Have you interceded? Have you prayed or cried out concerning the terrorist act that took place in Connecticut? Or you just say, oh, look at poor people. You know, God called us to intercede, to pray, to stand in the gap for people. You know, have you cried out for their families, the ones who lost loved ones? Have you prayed to the Lord to continually surround America with his blood, to have mercy on America? Have you repented before God on behalf of America? Salvation is truly needed in this hour. You know, we need salvation. We need salvation more than anything in this world. Salvation is needed in this world. We cannot make it without God's grace, mercy, and his salvation. And, you know, there needs to be a revival in the land. There must be a revival. Ask God for revival in our nation. And, you know, as a few minutes ago I was telling you about my pastor, Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and her famous quote, I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Well, she also wrote a book, and that little quote is in her book. The whole quote is in her book. And the book is called Prayers That Bring Change. And I'm going to read to you a prayer. And this prayer is called Prayer for Revival on the Street. America needs a great revival now like never before. So pray along with me silently, however you wish, as I pray. If you want to pray aloud, you're welcome to do that. Everybody's on mute right now. So I'm going to pray this prayer. You can listen to the prayer. Prayer for Revival on the Street by Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Father, I thank you for apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists who are being delivered from the streets into your marvelous kingdom to preach the gospel. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person who has become a victim of the streets. I lift up every drug dealer, drug addict, hustler, pimp, player, prostitute, homeless person, mental ill person, runaway, or any other person bound on the streets. I pray for the salvation of every thug, gang, set, crew, murder, gambler, thief, and robber. I break the power of the system of the web of crime. I target the demons that spearhead minority groups to lock them behind bars. I curse the spirit of mammon. I bind greed, envy, lack, poverty, and covetousness. I displace every demonic gatekeeper that opens vortexes in the spirit and make men criminally minded. The strongholds of every ruling spirit that enables over the strongholds of every ruling spirit that abides over neighborhoods of high crime rates are pulled down in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every county, city, region, state, and entire country. Revival is displacing recidivism statistics. I cast the goon spirits, bully spirits, spirits of rejection, murder, and hatred out of our community. The retaliation and revenge of the enemy is bound and blocked. Crime rates will not go up, but they will decrease. Spirits of the night crawlers, creeps, terrors by night, freaks, the walking dead have no power. Intercession over the cities is overtaking every evil plot, assignment, and attack. Drive-by shootings, robberies, hijacks, breaking and entering, crime, strong-arm assaults, home invasions, and burglars are at an all-time low. The people who have tendencies to commit these crimes are getting saved and living for the Lord. No more innocent blood will be shed on the streets. I decree that the hearts of the violent are being softened by the anointing of God. I prophesy that children of the night are coming out of darkness. The light of Jesus Christ has come to the highest crime area in our country. Father God, let your light shine in every dark place, every scheme of the enemy, from the crack houses, shooting galleries, corners, alleys, backyards, basements, streets, rooms for rent, inner cities, ghetto, and even the suburbs have been drug infested, that have been drug infested, is covered by the blood of Jesus. God, I ask you to heal the brokenhearted and break the strongholds of addiction to alcohol, illegal drugs, sex, and murder. I pull these strongholds down in the name of Jesus. Release your sword against pride, witchcraft, suicide, and all forms of wickedness. Let your blood saturate the streets and cleanse them by the Spirit, and cleanse them of spirits of lust, perversion, molestation, rape, prostitution, homosexuality, and incest. I dismantle every demonic kingdom built in the streets for destruction and death. I break the threefold cord of death, hell, and the grave. The vortexes are forbidding evil from sucking souls into hell from the sins of the street. The spirits of disobedience and rebellion are arrested. The shackles and chains that tie men and women to the streets are broken. I pray for the lost family members. I pray for the lost family members who have wandered hopelessly in the streets. The power of the streets is under our feet. Old things on the streets are passing away because of the revival that is rising up in this generation. Things have become new. I pronounce new things, the new things of Christ upon the streets. Jesus will become fashioned of this age. Ungodly soul ties, demonic oaths, and blood covenants made with the streets are being broken as we speak. All sacrifices to gangs, crews, devil worshippers, cults, coven, and any other dark organizations have no power. All forms of demonic influence through money, sex, and drugs have no authority over the lives of the people. They have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Their sins are forgiven, and they are delivered from the streets. The strong men of the streets are overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony of those already delivered from the streets. Father God, we decree that every assignment over the lives of people who are bound on the street is broken. All breaches, gaps, and hedges are covered by intercession in the name of Jesus. All reoccurring spirits and vicious cycles are shut down and uprooted in the name of Jesus. The puppet strings of the prince of the power of the air are cut off of the rebellious, the careless, and the unbelieving. Every demonic timer and trigger is diffused in Jesus' name. The cycle is broken. The generational curses are no more. Father, We thank you that you have all that we, Father, we thank you that all limitations and restrictions are broken off the lives of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thank God today that revival is coming back in the United States of America. Well, it's testimony time. Is there anybody who has a testimony that you want to share with us today? Press 1. Testimony. Press 1. Anybody have a testimony? Press 1. Still waiting. Nobody has a testimony? I'm trying to put Miss Lou Dell on, but I don't know what's happening. Still on mute. Not working right now. Hallelujah. Well, that's not working right now. Let me see what's going on here. Huh. I don't know what's happening, but I can't seem to get anybody off of mute today. Must be something in the system. So please forgive me. I've tried to take people off of mute, but it doesn't seem to work right now. So it must be something with Block Talk. But anyway, we're going to say a prayer. Couldn't get anybody off of mute today. Miss Lubiel, can you hear me? No, I don't think she'll be able to speak to us today because I can't get it off of mute. I don't know what's happening right here, but I will call the station when I get off to find out why I can't unmute anybody. But anyway, I love each of you. It is just about closing time on Voice to Men, Girls to Ladies. And I thank God for each of you coming on weekly. I thank God for, you know, his amazing grace. God is such a great God, and he loves all of us. He loves us so very much. And so, you know, all we got to do is call upon his name. Call on the name of our great God. And truly, he will answer, he will answer, he will answer. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a deaf God. He knows when you're going to call on him before you call. And guess what? He's already answered. So I want you to know today that God loves each of us, me included. Thank the Father. So let's return love back to our Father. You know, it's, I tell you what, read the Song of Solomon. You know how God loves us. He cherishes us. He adores us. And he wants love in return from us. He commands that we love him. He said he wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. You know, he loves us even more than we can ever love him. So love the Father. Obey him in all things, even things that you don't understand. Obey him. Obey Father God. You know, he's a great God. I can't begin to tell you how great he is. You know, a man told the story about, you know, it is not easy to understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. But I tell you what, our God is amazing. He made it so. God produced brown cows, black cows, and white cows. And when they eat green grass, they produce white milk, every one of them. Well, you know, even the Pool of Siloam, he told that man, you know, many times we don't understand what God is saying to us. He told that man, he said, go wash in the Pool of Siloam. Now, it was dirty and filthy. I'm like, how can this heal him? But he went and did it. And guess what? He got healed. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't we serve a great God? His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. But he is awesome in every way. So I thank God for each of you today. I look forward to speaking with you on this Saturday, day after tomorrow. April on Bible Story Land. 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, Joyful Praise Day this Saturday. So I'm saying to each of you, have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month. I love each of you. Keep the faith. But you know what? Father God loves you more than I ever can. His love is just such, oh, it's infinite. His love will never go away. He will always love. Now, he chastises. Don't you think that you're getting away with wrongdoing. No. He will eventually come back and, you know, make, you know, he will correct you. Oh, I finally got Miss Liddell on here. Hey, Miss Liddell.
Oh, how you doing? How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm doing. I've been listening to the program. I've been blessed. I couldn't
get something.
We're
about ready to go off. Ma'am?
What happened? I got where I couldn't hear.
Is it raining where you are? Because your phone, I can't hardly hear you on your phone.
No.
No, maybe it's my phone. Maybe it's not coming in clear on my phone.
No. Okay.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next, hopefully Saturday.
Friday.
All right, I love each of you, and I'll talk to you all Saturday on Bible Storyland, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But don't forget, have a God-filled evening. I love you. Bye.
Bye.